this week, as I've encountered people from this church, and they've been asking me after finding out that I'm sharing the message today, there's been a few like overlapping questions and themes in what we've discussed. And one of them is always like, are you speaking on Habakkuk? So ready to leave Habakkuk, which is fair because it was a pretty intense message series. That book asks a lot of deep questions. And then secondly, it's like, what are you sharing on? And then what are the Psalms of Ascent? Because that's what I'm speaking on today. We did a series on the Psalms. It was called Somewhere in the Psalms a few years ago. But we didn't cover the Psalms of Ascent because they're their own little collection in the book. But if you want to go deeper in the Psalms, you can listen to that message series online on the website. But to answer the question, what are the Psalms of Ascent? They are a collection of 15 Psalms ranging from Psalms 120 to 134 within the book of Psalms. They're easy to recognize as each is labeled as a Psalm of Ascent, though it's in tiny font, which is why you might have missed it before. The composers of these psalms, or pilgrim songs as they are also known, is King David, King Solomon, and a third anonymous writer. A pilgrimage, for those who may be new to the term, is a journey undertaken for spiritual growth, devotion, and personal transformation. The Psalms of Ascent were written to be sung by the Jewish people as they made their journey to Jerusalem to worship at the temple during the three annual feasts, annual pilgrimage festivals, which is Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. These were festivals and pilgrimages that Jesus also participated in. If you remember in Luke 2, his parents famously began the journey home from Jerusalem before realizing that he wasn't with them. They found him 3 days later, still at the temple, engaged with the priests and teachers. If you're wondering how his parents could have possibly lost their young son, it's because in verse 44 we are told, thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. So this shows us that it was a communal event. Families, distant cousins, neighbors, and whole communities hitting the road to travel to Jerusalem for these festivals. I can lose track of my son quite easily here on a Sunday morning, never mind in a city or bustling pilgrimage road. So as a boy mom, I have a lot of sympathy for Mary. So why Jerusalem? King David established Jerusalem as the capital, and his son, King Solomon, built the temple there, making the city the place for communal worship and sacrifice. The Jews were obligated to make a pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem for the feasts according to the Mosaic law, which you can read about in Exodus 23 and Deuteronomy 16. It was no small obligation, as the journey could take anywhere from 3 days to 3 weeks, depending on the route that you took. Also, back then, it would have been on foot or donkey, horse, or cart, so everything took a long time. It included important milestones, such as gathering at the Pool of Siloam for ritual purification before they climbed the 600-meter-long stepped pilgrimage road leading to the Temple Mount, and that's what the temple might have looked like. This journey is discussed in Psalm 122, which is one of the Psalms of Ascent, in lines such as, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statutes given to Israel. We no longer have to pilgrimage to Jerusalem. The temple itself was destroyed by the Romans just 40 years after Jesus' crucifixion, but primarily because the need to journey to the temple to make sacrifices and offerings was abolished by Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. There is no longer a building where God's presence solely resides. We don't journey anywhere to see God, but rather, thanks to the work of the Holy Spirit, he now resides with us, Emmanuel, God with us. Going back to these Psalms, as we Christians are no longer required to make a physical pilgrimage anywhere, what relevance do Psalms of Ascent have to us today? They were named as such, not only because Jerusalem was on a hill, so you had to literally climb or ascend towards the city, but also because this physical journey symbolized the spiritual journey of ascending to God and the New Jerusalem. Hebrews 13:14 says, "This world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come." These psalms are still relevant because we are still journeying. The Christian life is a life of pilgrimage. Every day requires steps of trust, actions of faith, devotion to God, meditation on His word, and walking in the direction towards our eternal home. Psalm 84:5 says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage." Eugene Peterson once said, "The trip to Jerusalem acted out a life lived upwards towards God, an existence that advanced from one level to another in deepening maturity." These psalms of ascent would have been songs that the Lord Jesus would have likely memorized and sung as he traveled to Jerusalem. Should we not then also make this part of the songbook we sing on our journey back home? There are no better songs for the road for those who travel the way of faith in Christ. So we've talked a lot about like history and context, but what did these Jewish pilgrims actually meditate on, written specifically to keep their hearts and minds focused and encouraged? What is it that we too need to be reminded of as we progress through our lives in the path that God has set before us? The main purposes of these psalms was to provide comfort, courage, and a sense of God's presence during the journey, and to build anticipation for the arrival in Jerusalem and the worship of God. The collection spans several overarching themes as the pilgrims progress towards the temple in Jerusalem, starting with distress and longing, confidence and security, humility and community, and then arrival and blessing. So number one, distress and longing, Psalm 120 to 124. The journey begins with an honest look at the harshness of the world and our need for God's care and protection. Within these chapters are verses such as, "I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped." Number two, confidence and security, which is Psalm 125 to 129. As the pilgrims climb, their focus shifts from their struggles to the unwavering nature of God. Here you will find this theme in verses such as, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. And blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor, blessings and prosperity will be yours." Humility and community, Psalms 130 to 133. The closer the pilgrims get to the holy city, the more their hearts are prepared for corporate worship. The fact that they even journey together is a beautiful display of how devotion and worship of God can unify us. Humility and community are spoken about in verses such as, "Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption." And, "Arise, Lord, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your priests be clothed with righteousness, and may your faithful people sing for joy." Finally, arrival and blessing, which is Psalm 134. This final psalm is an exchange of blessings. At the end of the long road to Jerusalem, the people, now standing at the temple, would proclaim verses 1 to 2 over the temple priests, saying, "Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord." The temple priests would respond with verse 3, saying, "May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is maker of heaven and earth." As you have heard from these few selected verses, these psalms contain important reminders. These pilgrims had to step out in faith and trust in God that they would arrive safely at the temple and then home again. That what they had left behind, such as property, possessions, crops, animals, or vulnerable individuals who could not physically undertake the journey, would be taken care of in their absence. They were faithful to what they had been called, and they trusted God for the rest. I love this line from the Beatitudes found in Matthew 5. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." That's a promise. We, the pure in heart, not through our own efforts, but through the transformational work of Him, will see God someday. These dedicated Jewish pilgrims journeyed to a temple they could not even fully enter. Only the high priest had access to the innermost chamber and was able to experience a small part of God's presence. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and through the transformational work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we, who are also called to be pilgrims in this world, when we arrive at the end of the road, we do not do so to catch a small glimpse of God, but to receive His fullness generously given. It's no man in priestly robes that meets us at the door, but the arms of Jesus that will invite us all the way in. Knowing what we know, how much more dedicated are we to this journey, this pilgrimage through life? The Jews then only had the Torah, which is the first five books of Moses, as they are also called, which is Genesis to Deuteronomy. We have 61 more books of the Bible than they have, filled with truth and wisdom and experience. How much more committed are we to our spiritual growth, devotion to God, and personal transformation with all of Scripture and the gift of the Holy Spirit as our guide? Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage with Jesus. We're going to sing those song verses again soon, and I hope that it will be true for you, that your heart is committed to faithfully pilgrimaging through life with Jesus, that you will be intentional in this journey for spiritual growth, devotion to God, and personal transformation, that you will not forget to spend your life preparing yourself to encounter the living God at the end of it all. So to summarize, the Psalms of Ascent continue to resonate with people of faith, providing a soundtrack for their own spiritual journeys to God's eternal kingdom. They offer courage, hope, and spiritual nourishment to people navigating the challenges of faith and life. So that was a brief introduction to the Psalms of Ascent. I hope it has inspired you to take a deeper dive into them, especially if you haven't before. There's a lot to unpack in these 15 chapters. I'm going to invite the prayer teams and the music team to take their places again. And as they do so, I'm going to share a closing verse, and then we will go into our second Sunday soak, which is an open-ended, extended time of worship through song. You're invited to stay, to sing, pray, and reflect during this time, but if you need to leave, that's okay too. We just ask that you take all casual conversation to the lobby so that those who wish to stay and participate can do so without distraction. And this is a great opportunity to raise our voices in unity and song as those Jewish pilgrims once did. So our closing verse is taken from Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says: stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Thank you.